Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Decorating Pages is a podcast dedicated to taking you behind the scenes of the designs of your favorite TV shows and films. Each episode, I'll be sharing design stories from some of Hollywood's most famous sets, interviews from set decorators, production designers, directors, and actors about creating the look of TV and film, about their design inspirations, and stories that take sets from page to screen. Hello, and welcome to Decorating Pages. I'm your host, Kim Wanup. Sorry, my voice is not so great. I have no idea. I had a sore throat, and then I went to an Emmy mixer to get more members, and I lost my voice for like 2 days completely. And then I had to cancel this interview, which I was supposed to do last week, and I did it today. Today's Monday for me. But it's still not 100%. But I wanted to get this interview out because I'm talking to a costume designer and we talk a little bit about the fashion of the Oscars. Yep. The Oscars. I have only missed the Oscars once in my life. And that's because I was on my honeymoon in Africa. And then I didn't realize that we were given a gift from our family to see The Lion King, and it was yesterday. So I was a little worried about traffic, but I was wrong. It was fine. But so I saw The Lion King yesterday while the Oscars were happening, and The Lion King was phenomenal. I know I'm really late to the party. I know it came out like 20 years ago. I never saw it. The boys loved it. Their little cousins loved it. The costumes and all of the set design and how they conveyed that animation to the stage. I just loved it. I absolutely loved it. I knew I was going to love it, obviously. And if you see it, you would love it too. It's just fun and it's a little long. But the kids loved it, and they love the scary parts, and they love the sad parts, and just all smiles all around last night. So, some of the Oscars I listened to on the way in, because of wonderful technology, I can stream it on my phone, and so I just listened to it. I did watch most of the red carpet while I was getting ready to leave, and then I watched the rest afterwards, not live. And a little tidbit, I recorded it on Sling, which is I cut my cable. I have Sling. And they don't have like an extension, because you know on TiVo you used to like add 30 minutes to live events. They don't have that. So it actually ended for me at the memoriam. I was like mid-cry and it ended and it didn't extend it at all, which is kind of bullshit, Sling. You gotta get on that. So I went to Hulu, and Hulu had this thing. They didn't have the whole 3.5 hour thing. They had acceptance. They have like a thing, Oscars, and then it's like red carpet. Okay. And then it's acceptance speeches. And then it only shows the acceptance speeches, which was kind of genius, I thought, because if you just want to see the meat of the show, there you go. And then it had extras, and it had people giving longer acceptance speeches backstage. They have a mic and you can talk into. So if you're looking for a little extra Oscar, Hulu has that on there. And I just thought it was kind of genius that you could just, so I discovered it And then I was like, uh-oh. And I went down and closed my eyes to like where I had last seen. And then started watching acceptance speeches and closing my eyes and picking them. So it wouldn't reveal the winner. But how exciting. All Quiet on the Western Front won Best Production Design. Predicted a long time ago by moi. And you can hear set decorator Ernestine Hipper on last week's episode. And I told her, if the cinematographer wins, you've got a really good chance of winning. And he did. So I'm so happy for her. And production designer Christian Goldbeck, I think they did a tremendous job. I think all the nominees were great, but I am happy for her. She seemed just belated and so, so happy. And actually, if you go and watch her and his behind stage thank yous, it's really funny because she's kind of in the background of his and she's like mimicking talking to someone else. It's really sweet. It's very nice. So yeah, I thought the Oscars on a whole made me cry a lot as I was driving in the car. I felt like a lot of people got their dues and a lot of people who worked for a really long time got, you know, their dreams come true. And I talk about this in this episode, in this interview, you know, later on. It's not about dreams come true, here's your Oscar. It's about dreams come true in your life and the achievements you're going to make. And it's just, I think, you know, a lot of people and, you know, ratings are down and nobody wants to watch an award show. I get it. But there's something to strive for when people are awarded for things. And maybe because we got into a generation where everybody gets a trophy, which is bullshit, maybe it lost its luster that way. And maybe, you know, I know that like kids soccer now, they don't keep score or something. Bullshit. Kids need to keep score. You either win or you lose in life. I don't get this like everybody gets a trophy and we're not keeping score jam. I don't go for it. I'm going to keep score and I'm going to tell my kids if they win or lose. Sorry. Anyway, I think the Oscars were very emotional in that sense because you had people like Data from Goonies and Brendan Fraser and Jamie Lee Curtis and these people who have been working for decades and have finally had the achievement and the hard work and the, you know, the diligence and the drive to keep pushing. It's really tremendous and I think a wonderful thing to watch and it's very emotional. I felt very emotional watching the Oscars last night. I think the set was fantastic. I think it's a very Art Deco gold, really, you know, 95th year of the Oscars. Loved it. I loved how Rihanna rose up when she sang her song. I can't believe she didn't win. But the element that I love the most about this set was, and maybe it's a permanent instillment in the theater and I just don't know this, but they attached lights to the back of the seats. And so when you were looking, you know, when they had the shot looking at the stage, they had these lights. And I'm sure it made for better lighting when they went to the audience and getting everybody's reaction shots. But also they could use in color, like they had red sometimes, and sometimes they made a design of it. I just think that's a brilliant add-on. I don't know if it's permanent or not, or if it's just this show. And I forgot to look up who designed the Oscars, but bravo. Bravo to that. I think that's fantastic. And I bet you other awards shows go for that too. I was glad they, you know, were back in that theater and not like the tables and everything. It's the tables to me is ridiculous because only the Golden Globes have it. Let them have it. That's what they do. You stick to audience. I don't know. So yeah, I thought the Oscars were great this year. Congratulations to Ernestine and Bravo. There was a couple of Oscar panels, nomination panels this weekend. The Art Directors Guild and the SDSA puts on a panel every year of the nominated designers and decorators. They had that on Saturday. So I do believe you can stream that either on their YouTube pages or their home pages. I didn't look it up. But also what they did this year, which I thought was fun, is the Property Masters Guild put together a panel of the Oscar-nominated films and had the prop masters talk about their experiences. And that was held on Saturday also. Gay Perillo, prop master of Babylon, who has been on the show a couple times. She's a dear friend and phenomenal. And I know she worked her ass off on that show. And if you want to see how her and her team worked her ass off, she has been posting like a mad person on Instagram. And her name is Baby G Perillo, P-E-R-E-L-L-O. And she has tons and tons of photographs of behind the scenes of Babylon, all the props that she used and how they reset things. So if you want to check that out, it's fantastic. They had Chris Peck from Glass Onion, Joshua Bremer from Everything Everywhere All at Once, Brad Elliott from Avatar, and virtually Andrew Siegel from The Fabelmans. So that was held on Saturday, which I am so bummed I didn't get to. And it's on their propertymasterguild.org. It has it on there, but I wonder if they'll stream it somewhere. I hope, because I would love to watch that. Just so much hard and brilliant work in these films. Yeah, just, I think it was all around just a good Oscars. Besides that, I did not get to watch the finale of The Last of Us last night, which I am bummed. So I'll have to talk about that in the next episode. Oh, it's so good. But I did do some throwbacks this week. I watched Parenthood, the Steve Martin 1989 film with Rick Moranis and everybody else who's great. Production designed by Todd Hollowell and set decorated by Nina Ramsey. And I'd have to say, it's one of those films I saw in the theater that inspired me in a way of just being a regular film that made an impression on me design-wise. Like Diane Wiest's house, that craftsman, was always so fascinating to me. And then just how every sibling had a different look in the grandparents' house. And I just love that film. And I as I grow older, I relate so much to different characters. You know, when I saw it when I was a teenager, I get why Julie loved Todd and why she wanted to marry him, and because it's Keanu Reeves. But and then as a parent now, you know, the Diane Wiest, her mother, and all of the parents in the film just struggling to get by and relate and do the best that they can. Even the grandparents of terrifying. Like you have all these different personalities of children and you have to deal with them all. It's like work. They're all children. But I love Parenthood. It's a staple. I could throw it on at any moment and watch it. I did throw on Lawrence of Arabia because they keep showing it like, oh, it's like newly done or 4K or whatever. I don't even have 4K, but I was like, oh, let me throw it on. I fell asleep within like 15 minutes. Now, I have been sick, so I'll give it that. But I don't know. I've saw it a really long time ago. It's great. I can't keep my eyes open. Sorry. Production design by John Box. And set decoration by Dario Simoni. It's a huge, huge movie. I don't know how they did all that in the desert and the heat. And that's a big movie. But couldn't keep my eyes open. So maybe I'll get back to it this week. One little gem I did find is this 1957 film called Designing Woman, starring Gregory Peck and Lauren Bacall. And they are, like, he's a sports writer, she's a costume designer in TV and in film. And they meet and have, like, a quick romance and get married. And it's, like, their lives intertwined in New York City in the 50s. It's directed by Vincent Minnelli. It's so cute. And her apartment and the style of, like, 1957 and her wardrobe is phenomenal. It's really great. So that was a little gem I picked up. That's on HBO Max. It says art direction by E. Preston Ames and William Horning. Set decoration by Henry Grace and Edwin B. Willis. So if you're looking for an oldie with some great style, Designing Woman on HBO Max. So yeah, that's what I've been watching this week. So one other little thing before we get to the interview, I wanted to let you know that the Washington Post did a video of dangers on movie and TV sets. And if you go to WashingtonPost.com, in their video section, it's called Quiet on the Set, Dangers of Movie and TV Production. It is only like 5-10 minutes, I think. 13 minutes. And set decorator Chili Nathan is in it also, talking about the dangers of working on TV and film and how we our turnarounds and lack of sleep and stress and low pay and being overworked and exhausted. And, you know, one time, I mean, unfortunately, I've heard of people being in car accidents because either waking up too early or going home too late. And it's awful. I mean, it happens, but it seems to happen in our industry a lot, of just the exhaustion and falling asleep at the wheel. There's a story in this little video about it. But one time on my way to work to Veep, we were shooting in Calabasas. I had to be there by like 5. I was probably on the road at like 4:15. I was on the 101 North and there was hardly anyone there. And I was in the left-hand lane, the fast lane, and I kind of hate being in that lane because I always feel like a rock or a car from the other side is going to come up and crash into me. So instinctually, I moved to the middle lane, and about a minute or so after I did that, and you know, it's early, and there's hardly anyone on the road, so you're going a little fast. I got to get there. A car was stopped, dead stopped. Turn the opposite way, no headlights on, in the left lane. And if I hadn't gotten over, I would have crashed right into it because it was dark out. There was no headlights on, only because one car like in front of me had their brake lights on, did I even slow down a little. And then it whizzed by me so fast. And then there was another crashed car. And I could have been killed. I mean, that was it. It was so dark on the road. And it was, you know, you're not altogether thinking. I'm usually jamming out to either Howard Stern or some really good pumped up music to get me going for the day. So that's one instance of you're just on the road at odd hours in this job. And, you know, it's hard to be alert at every single second. So I can relate to everything that they talk about in this video. So if you get a chance, it is, it's short. It's only 13 minutes. Washington Post, Quiet on the Set. If you search that, it came out on March 6th. So yeah, check that out. On this episode, I speak with costume designer Queen Sylvia Akuche. With her parents coming from Nigeria, she is a first generation American and grew up in DC. She started her costume designer path while attending school in Atlanta. She interned and worked her way up in costume departments on many Tyler Perry projects like Madea Goes to Jail, Madea's Witness Protection, and other features like Gone Girl, American Maid, The Equalizer 2, and recently Coming to America, and more. She is currently the costume designer on the second season of Peacock's Bel Air, which I am very much enjoying. So I hope you enjoy. It's so nice to meet you.
Likewise, we just started chatting.
Oh yeah, this is how it rolls. We just talk and hopefully you're comfortable enough to just chat with me. Because I think one of the things that's nice about this is like I know your pain because I'm in it too as a decorator.
Yeah.
So, and I'm always I'm in awe of all of us of how we all get it done. And so hopefully a different angle for talking and interviewing, just as like the more of the mechanical and more of the reality of like our jobs. First of all, I think it was actually a good thing to have postponed a little bit because now I get to ask you a little bit about Oscar fashion.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I was so impressed with everyone last night. I felt like everybody really brought it.
I mean, yeah, I was totally blown away. People really brought their A game.
Yeah.
It was colorful with a lot of white, lots of yellows, lots of, you know, it was a beautiful moment. I felt like last night was like the first time in a long time where the Oscars felt emotional.
Oh my God. I cried. I cried the first two. I feel like I cried so many times. When John Travolta was up there, I cried.
Yeah, I know. Oh, God. I know. Last night just felt, it reminded me of why I do what I do. And it's, sometimes we have these moments where it feels thankless or it's just, you know, it's like you feel like there obviously is purpose because every story has a purpose, but it's like, am I doing the right thing?
Yeah.
And last night really just brought everything full circle. Just felt really good and very, very impactful.
Yeah.
Very meaningful, emotional. I was really, really, really felt heartfelt. I went to bed really, really thinking of all the things that we've been through and that we've done and how much more we have to go. And it was really, really a good award show.
Yeah. I do feel like Oscars and Emmys renew me in a sense of like, look at all of these people. And I think last night too was emotional because so many of the winners have been around for so long.
Yes.
And finally getting their dues and like telling people, just keep dreaming, just keep reaching. Like I found it really, if you're given an Oscar to Data, I mean, fantastic. It's fantastic. So, yeah. And I thought the only thing about the fashion was the hair. Everybody's hair would look like mine right now, like flat and like,
I think that it is just what's on trend for like whatever is now, because obviously someone's singing the same song. So if everyone's kind of like in that same vortex and everyone was just like straight down, or like I saw a lot of like ponytails. Just like back. It was just like, we're just going to throw in a ponytail and keep it going and do something fun. But it was very flat, I'll say.
And I don't think the weather helped because it was like foggy and kind of dewy. And I think I think everyone should have had a tight bun or something. I feel like somebody should have keyed into the weather too, because I know my hair doesn't do anything in the weather. But I have to say, what you were just saying there of cluing into what's happening now, I think it's one of the hardest things in your job is cluing into contemporary styles and what's really happening, what are people really wearing. And the magic of it is 10, 15 years from now, when they go back and look at the show, it is. And I think it's always pushed a little to be creative, but that is really what people were wearing. And I find that so hard to do for costumes. I mean, I don't know how you do it.
No, it really is. And, you know, a lot of it, you know, I am a designer who loves just timeless. you know, something that can just transcend onto decades and decades and decades. But sometimes you have those moments of, you know, this is what's in right now. Yeah. And it's just kind of like seeing what, you know, these designers are doing in all the fashion weeks, whether it's Paris Fashion Week, UK Fashion Week, you know, just kind of seeing, you kind of don't know what's going to stick because all these designers have so many different visions, yeah. right? So you kind of figuring out, okay, this is kind of cool. This color is what's on now, what's in now. Because, you know, when these contemporary designers are designing their lines for the season, they're not all talking together, right? Everyone's right. kind of in their creative safe space. So it was up for us, the consumers and people like myself who does design contemporary wear, to kind of figure out what is the hit? What is, and you know, and kind of just trying. And it's only what you feel like would work, you know? And you only hope the audience can gravitate and pick up what you're putting down in the essence of costume. So it's just a lot of research. And also to just kind of circling back to even Bel Air, you know, just connecting the dots of the original Fresh Prince and this show, the reimagined of Bel Air, and seeing where some of the characters can be parallel yeah. and still be timeless and connecting to who the original character was in a small percentage that we can. So.
Because I do feel like with Ashley, you give her such an innocence, but she's so smart and she's, you know, a young adult, but you've captured her in her wardrobe so eloquently and so like, she's not a wallflower, you know what I mean? Like she's bright.
Oh, she is.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, for sure. You know, she's like she's our tween, right? So she's discovering herself.
Yeah.
She's finding out what I like, what is my favorite color, what silhouette looks good on me, what silhouette do I like, you know, what do I like patterns, do I like textures, do I like style, you know, like just think about when we were tweens, you're just trying to find out what do you like, what is your favorite,
I was shopping at Mandy's, I don't know.
For her, you know, it's just fun with her having fun with her costumes and also rediscovering who she is as far as her sexuality at such a tender age, yeah. you know. I think that has a lot to do with how her clothes are worn. And you know, I don't do her too feminine or too masculine. And she's not a tomboy whatsoever. But just finding that those items that are gender neutral in the essence of still being super feminine or super masculine, just finding things that don't feel like she's pushing the edge on either side too much.
Yeah.
And I think that's what just tweens do in general.
Yeah.
You know, even you know, just think about some of the girly girls now who were straight up tomboys when you guys were in high school or middle school. You know, like yeah. she wore baggy jeans, you know, if you think about who Aaliyah was in that time, yeah. she wore baggy jeans. Yeah. So, yeah, so just kind of like figuring out who she is, but still doing it in a very Bel Air kind of way, because this family does come from a lot of influence and money. So we also want to showcase that. But she's just discovering herself. She's having fun.
Yeah.
She's figuring out who her friends are, what she likes, what she doesn't like. And I hope that I did that through her costume as well.
Oh, you do. Oh, you definitely do. So, I know I did this movie and it was teenage girls, and I started to, as research, I started to follow a lot of teenagers on Instagram,
yeah,
and I was like,
yeah.
oh my God, I'm going to get pegged as like a pedophile or something. But, okay, but basically I wanted to see their rooms. I wanted to see, you know, I wanted to see what's in the background of every picture. But research wise, are you hanging out at Beverly Hills High or like Tibu?
You know, research, you know, a lot of my research for this show came from High and Low. But for characters like Ashley, I have a goddaughter who's 14, another 15. So I just, and they're like, pretty much just like Ashley, you know, of course, not as much influence, but, you know, they all go to these schools and
yeah.
stuff, and hang out and have all these friends. And so I would have my friend like, hey, let me take her out to the mall and kind of see what she gravitates towards, you know? So it's cool that I get to have firsthand.
Oh, yeah. Just stalking teenagers on Instagram.
My life. Yeah. You know, like, yeah, I'll pick them up. Yeah, I'll take them there. Yeah. You know, so. And so, and every character's research is kind of different, you know, because every character is so different on this show. Like,
yeah.
everyone is so different. So I kind of had different things I did for a lot of people. But also too, a lot of it is just kind of online too, just kind of whether it's Pinterest or Instagram, Google, you know, yeah. all the things and all of the things that we have at our fingertips now that we didn't have before.
Yeah.
So definitely.
Do you, because I'm assuming you watched the original like I did when it, I don't know. Oh. I don't know your age, but I watched it when it aired. Monday nights at like, it was 8 or 8:30, like Alf, I think, or like some other like John Stamos show was on or something too. I watched it live. I love that show. I'm from Philly. It was the best. It was the absolute best. And it was, I wasn't his age, but I was younger and I was still relating to like him being different. And there was something like you could connect to. Are there times when you look back at the original and think like, I want to bring that look back, but I want to do it now. Do you have any of those?
So funny. So, you know, because this show is a reimagined, I didn't want to like make things so parallel because I still wanted to have the characters have their own individual aesthetic. So what the things I did do were kind of like, you know, the original Will Smith loved, you know, we all know he wore tennis shoes. He never repeated tennis shoes. He was a basketball player. So I just made sure that whatever is in vogue now for the character Will, he like tennis shoes are his thing. Mm. You know what I mean? So it's things like that I kind of kept up with.
Yeah.
I didn't want to recreate previous costumes because it just felt like too on the nose.
Yeah.
You know, but things that felt of essence of the character, I definitely did, you know, and enhancing with that, whatever that is. So with Will, he has all these cool fly kicks and tennis shoes. And then I started putting lace charms on them. So if you see the show, you'll see you know, So I took what was already there and tried to kind of enhance it. That's kind of like the mode I try to set for each of the characters. Yeah. And not being so much a parallel, but having an essence of who that original person was. Like, you know, Hillary, she has on the headbands, but she and not just headbands, she's doing hats and scarves. So just kind of like taking it up
another elevating. Level. You're elevating the evolution of it through time. It is important that first scene. I watched the first three. The first scene is him almost. I think it's the first scene. It's him getting ready. It's all about the wardrobe. It's all about like him being kind of on his own, like dressing myself. Yeah. I'm going out. It's really sets a tone for that episode and I think the series too of like I'm a little bit more independent. I'm a little bit more my own. I know who I am now. I find that great.
It was a beautiful montage of him getting dressed and again him finding his independence and reassuring himself like I got this, you know, and I'm fly in this neighborhood. So I'm sorry to interject you about
I was gonna because I forgot my question and then I wanted to go back. Where are you digging your knees out? Where are you shopping? Because I know with costume design, like you get to take things out from stores on loan sometimes and then use and bring them back and things like that, which is a whole process. I don't know how you guys deal with because when I have to go to like Uni Wardrobe or whatever, it's a nightmare for us because Zetzek, like we don't really know the process. Like we don't know like, oh, I got to find this long sleeve sweater. I got to go to like this aisle, blah, blah, blah. Like you guys know it. If you had to go to the prop house, it'd be the same. But the loan outs of like department, like a Bloomingdale's or something, like that's a whole process that you have to do.
And you know, a lot of people, a lot of our executives do not know what we have to do to get clothes.
Nobody knows what we have to do either.
It's a whole team behind people like me, right?
Yeah.
Things are done in the correct way, and it is a lot. But you know, to answer your first question, I get clothes from everywhere. You know, this season for me was all about culture, so I got clothes from West Africa, the United Kingdom, West Philadelphia, you know, South Central LA, in every sense of the meaning of what I'm saying is totally true. It's something that I felt meant so much for this season
Yeah.
And this whole reimagine of Bel Air, because, you know, this, the Fresh Prince of Bel Air was so in depth as far as representing the culture of the Black community. So I wanted to make sure I did that in the way that I could, in my vessel, in my lens, that I could, you know, pour into whatever that meant for this show. So for characters like Jazz, I shot for him a lot of things from him from LA, from designers who wouldn't have had the platform or the opportunity to showcase their work. Same thing for Philadelphia. I got a lot of Philly brands and put them on wheel, you know? Yeah. And just even a lot of characters like Aunt Viv, a lot of her jewelry and some of her clothes came from West Africa. Jewelry was made in Uganda and Kenya, you know? So I just wanted to pour into all of the creatives and artisans who are impactful, who are changing the dial of what we can see on television. So, and then we also went to Neiman's and Saks and had memorables.
Yeah.
And tons of clothes, you know, tons of clothes went in and out. But yeah, the process is quite jarring, but necessary. And clothes came from everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Literally.
Because sometimes, you know, I'll be like, oh, this character, they shop at Home Goods. I'm going to go to Home Goods. Or like, oh, yes. No, this is Chris. You know, you have certain, I always try to think, where would they shop? And what's available to them in their like demographic range and everything. But so to me, clothing, it boggles my mind. Like when you guys have to do, and you have to do the school, when you guys have to do like extras, and I know you have a team of people to help accessorize and do all that, but you're walking in at like 6 a.m., and there's like 50 people waiting to be like checked for wardrobe. The pressure for me. and I got my own pressures. But when I see that line, I think, thank God I'm not in wardrobe.
Yep. And 50 is a low number, okay?
Yeah, yes, it is.
200, it is. 250. I mean, on those school yard days, and the whole entire yard has to be dressed. Ugh. It's a lot of bodies and a lot of clothes.
And it's lots of laundry. You give them, and you give them all such personality. That's what's always intriguing to me.
Yeah. Even the background is so important for me because they also make the show. They represent, you know, the environment and the atmosphere of who we are, what we're doing and whatever show you're working on. So atmosphere and background is so, so important, especially the school too, because I want everyone to kind of show their personality, because that's what we do. You know, I mean, I didn't go to school where I had to wear a uniform, but I can only imagine if I did, how I would wear my uniform, you know, versus an ex.
I went to school. I wore a uniform for 12 years. I'm sorry, I have a puppy and he's biting everything. And I remember, like, some girls had the sweater. Some girl would put it over. We all rolled up our skirts, like, because we weren't allowed to. But, like, there's that craving of a personality when you're wearing a uniform. It's so
funny. Yeah. And also that just goes back to trying to find yourself, you know, as well.
You mentioned Aunt Viv. I love Aunt Viv's style because you have this, like, working mom who's an artist and juggling things, but still putting herself together. Mm-hmm. Like it's so important, I think, to show that too, that like we all still get it together and go out to work and do the kids and like all of this. Mm-hmm. And her independence and everything is so great. I do love that they've given her more to do on this version of Bel Air. Previously.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Aunt Viv gets up every morning with intention. She knows what her day is going to be comprised of, and she puts on her armor, is what I call it. You know, so whatever she's facing that day, whatever meeting she has, you know, whatever interaction she's going to have, she's prepped for it. So you'll see throughout the season that when she gets dressed, she wakes up in the morning, looks in her closet, and it's like, I'm going to do this today, so I'm going to wear this. It's very intentional.
Yeah.
She's not just on clothes. She's not that mom. Yeah. I'm that mom.
I'm
clothes on clothes.
I'm slowly getting there. Although I wish, you know what I wish? I wish I could go back to having a uniform because I'm so tired and I gotta make 1,000 decisions all day. I don't really don't care what I wear. Like I wish I could be. I kind of wish I could be some of those like designers or like they only wear black and white. But I love color and pattern. Like I love it too much. So then you're just faced with, you know, getting dressed every day instead of like, I'm just going to wear my
assistant, she's getting into the, I just want to wear a uniform every day.
And yes.
She's going to curate her uniform in her closet to be like, she's going to be a minimalist and she just wants to have a few pieces and same color palette. And like, that's her uniform.
I'm jealous. As the geniuses do that, the Steve Jobs and all, they only have like 10 shirts and all the same. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. I hated wearing uniform, but now I think about it all the time. I'm like, and the funnier thing is I always say, which I know everyone does, we all wear our uniforms. Like you could walk on the back lot and you know who's in costumes and you know who's a grip.
Oh, for sure.
You know who's an electric and you know who's a grip and you know who the producers are because they have a coffee cup. And yeah. It's funny. So we all kind of have our own uniforms in a way.
Yeah, no, we do. That's a good one. I never thought of it. We do have our own uniform.
Mm-hmm. Do you collaborate much? I'm so sorry. He has bitten. He's biting this. I don't know why I got a puppy. I'm so mad at myself. I have 4-year-old twins. Why did I do this?
You have 3-year-old twins?
Four-year-old twins. I'm so dumb. I'm so dumb. I like got done my show, got a puppy the same week because I was like, this will work out. I'll be off. I can like train him. And it's been like a nightmare.
Twins. Are they boys or girls? Or both?
I have two identical boys.
Oh my God.
I'm trying to get them into like.
Oh my God, look at their little haircuts. They're so cute.
Oh yeah, I'm keeping the page boy. I'm keeping the Dutch paint boy as long as I can.
They look so, how was it in the beginning? The first like year,
so hard. It was so hard, but I don't know any different. That's all I have. So I don't have any different, but.
My little one, she's.
Oh, cutie patootie.
She's 2, and God bless us mommies. You know, I haven't watched, what is the movie that won all the awards last night?
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Everything, and I it's been on my list to watch. I have been working, so I just got some time off, and I said, you know what, I'm going to have my whole list of movies, and they won so many last night, so I, like, downloaded Stars and the TV, and, like, I'm going to probably watch it tonight. I'm so excited about it, because I've heard rave, all of our actors on my show watch it and raved about it. So anyway,
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it? Really?
I don't know. I think I wasn't in the mood or something. I don't know. I don't know. There was like a lot of fighting and shit, and I was like, where's this going? And then I had to rewind it because I was like, I must have missed something. I don't know why they're doing this, and I didn't.
Isn't it one of those movies where you can't miss anything? You have to like stay on course.
Which is hard for us because at least for me, because I'm multitasking at all times.
So. Same. I like to watch. So I am a viewer, audience member to things that either has to be a documentary. I can you can hold me for a documentary.
Yeah.
But I like to watch shows that are light. I like to watch shows that I don't have to think too much. I don't have to be too invested because life is already heavy.
Yeah.
So I don't want to have to deal with like this show is just giving me anxiety.
Yeah.
So I watch a lot of comedies or like light dramas, but I can't watch shows that just that's so intense. Unless it's a documentary because it's like real life, right? Yeah,
and it's completely fascinating that it's
screwed up. Crazy. So so a lot of shows can't hold me because I'm not interested.
I think having kids, I can't watch murders. I can't watch murder stuff like I used to.
I can't do it. Like even the show on Netflix, the Murdoch story, I can't watch it. for some reason, like, and I used to be able to watch things like that. It's a doc, and that,
yeah,
I can't.
That was terrible. Wait, is that, and that's the one where they killed the kid in the middle of the street, right?
I haven't watched it, but
I'm not giving anything away. It's up there. I'm not like
story because I just can't remember what actually happened in real life. But I know he just got sentenced to forever in jail.
Yeah.
So,
it's ridiculous. It's crazy that that's true.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this: what are you watching that's inspiring you, like clothing wise?
Oh, I love Emily in Paris.
Oh, yes.
I love that movie. Also loved, what's that show? Her name was Anna, on Netflix.
Oh, Inventing Anna?
Inventing Anna, like, the fashion was really good. The costume design was really good. What else? Emily in Paris, Inventing Anna, really, really enjoyed. That's all I can think about for now.
Inventing Anna was a crazy story.
It was a crazy story, and it had good fashion though, good storytelling in all facets. So I really, really, really enjoyed that. I can't think of anything else that I'm like, oh, I watched for the fashion. Never actually thought about it like that.
Yeah, I feel like I'm always looking behind, but sometimes I don't, and then I'm like, was that good? What did that look good? Like I forgot I didn't look at the sets.
I'm also looking to say, oh, like, because I know, you know, all of us costume designers, we all are friends or our colleagues and know each other. So I'm like, I'm always watching something to like support a friend.
Yeah.
You know, I love the Blackish, the Grownish franchise. Yeah. I'm always looking to see Michelle Dick. She's a mentor of mine. Like, oh, she put that together. You know, so things like that, you know.
Yeah, that's great.
So I think I more so watch shows to support my colleagues and seeing like, oh, that how they put things together, what they did. So that's always fun to support.
And now Ruth, no, I'm forgetting her name. She won last night.
Ruth Carter. Yeah.
It's phenomenal. I mean, you're creating a universe full of wardrobe. Like, it's phenomenal. You can't, I mean, they're all like, all of the nominees, you really look at like what they're doing. It's great. But when you got to create a whole universe and like, it's crazy.
I mean, I screamed for about 5 minutes yesterday in full complete awe. It's remarkable what Ruth Carter has done, what she is doing. She's also a mentor of mine, and having firsthand experience working with her, she is an absolute genius.
Yes. Yes.
In every sense of the word. I mean, I remember when I first met her over a decade ago, before, you know, I think she was doing, oh God, she was doing a TV show called, I forgot the name of the TV show.
No, I can look. Anyway,
It was over. It was like 15 years ago. It was when I initially met her, and I was young woman in my 20s. You know, just trying to figure out the industry and figure out everything. And I was in awe then. Like I had a goosebumps. Like, she was the hugest person to me, because for me growing up, the only designers I know that looked like me was Sharon Davis and Ruth Carter. Like, that was just it. Right. Like, those are who I researched about when I was a teenager or 19, 20, and kind of figure out, this is what I'm doing with my life, you know? So when I met her in my early 20s, totally starstruck, had the opportunity to work with her and her mentor me and her give me advice. And, you know, she can take a handkerchief and make anything out of it. I'm not joking.
It's crazy.
It's remarkable what this woman can do with anything. It's like, and you're just like, whoa, I could never think of that. You know, it's kind of like a lot, you know. So last night was just, I literally, my daughter was like, she got scared, and then she saw I was smiling and she started smiling, and I was like, I mean, I even have chills thinking about it right now, because just speechless, complete awe, what she's done in her career with creating the universe of Wakanda.
Yeah.
She's a true artist in every sense of the right and word and meaning. She's just amazing. So yes, I'm really happy for her win last night.
would like Wakanda Forever, like, would that be, like, what is your dream project?
Oh, God, my dream project. You know, it's so crazy because, you know, growing up, I never thought that certain things were even available for me to dream to do.
Right.
You know, never thought about, like, when I started, oh, I can do a Marvel show, because I never thought that we would even be looked at to do a Marvel show. You know, see, it's so crazy how we limit ourselves when we don't know, when we're so young and tender, what's available to us. But right now, I would say something I really, really, really want to do in the near future is a period piece. I just want to do something in like 70s, 80s, you know. A dream of mine also is to kind of just do a show based. I'm a first generation Nigerian. So I would love to do a 70s, 80s piece derived around my culture of Nigeria, West Africa, awesome. And what that looked like and how people were living then. And, you know, because when I go back and look at pictures of my grandparents and how beautiful they looked, and I'm like, the world hasn't seen this. We all know 70s and 80s in Chicago. We've seen 70s and 80s in New York, right. In LA. You know, have we seen what 70s and 80s look like in West Africa? I don't think we have. And so that's something that I hope someone can create a script, or maybe it's me creating that script, and, you know, putting it out there, because that I would say would be a dream, you know, to see my mother's clothes when she was like a teenager. Oh, yeah. It was so cute, you know.
I'd watch and that.
It's so different. So I would say that would definitely be a dream of mine.
Oh, that's to do. Awesome.
Yes, a period piece that is based in West Africa.
So how did you get here? Because we all have an origin story, and it's clear. Yeah. I mean, and everyone's is so completely different, and no one has the same path. And
we have the same paths for sure. Yeah, just being a first generation American, my parents came here in the 60s, you know, went to school. I was born and raised in Washington, D.C., so I'm an East Coast girl as well. Yeah, and just kind of like made my way. I worked in Atlanta for a while. I went to school in Atlanta, went to college, and then was working inside of the industry in Atlanta, Georgia, and then found my way to LA. When I graduated high school, I actually wanted to move to LA then. My mother was like, you're not going across the country at 17 years old. Yeah. So I found someplace else that felt like home, which was Atlanta. So I went to school and worked there after school, and made my way to LA finally. So here we are.
And pursuing costumes and fashion and, well...
Yeah, so that just kind of, you know, I didn't know that costume design was a career. Something that I didn't know. Again, being a first-generation American from West African parents, you either had to be a lawyer, a doctor, accountant, an engineer, maybe a chemist. Like, you had a handful of jobs that you could do in life to be someone. Like, that's just ask any African person. Like, that's just it. The creative field was, like, what you did as secondary, right. You know? And so just in college, I started, like, you know, working with fashion shows inside of our university. And then I started to intern. So when I was working at the mall, and so I was like, hey, you know, you want to intern or work with me? It's literally how it happened. I was working at the mall.
Oh my God,
that person is carrying bags and they look like they're shopping for someone else. I remember this is crazy. Wow, nostalgic moment. And I was like, that person looks, because I was, you know, doing fashion shows in college and things like that. And I was like, that person's working. That person isn't just like shopping for themselves. And so the person came into the mall a few times. I was working on a tea shop and it was right outside of Macy's. And so everyone always had to like walk past our shop to get to Macy's. So you saw who was coming in and out of the mall. And, well, I haven't thought about this in a while. This is crazy. It's very humbling. And I remember always offering this person tea. It's a tea shop again. Like, you want to try some tea? You know, because we had like samples and that sort of thing. So the person said, yeah, I'll try some tea. And I was just like, oh, what are you shopping for? What are you doing? You know, and so they kind of like just opened up and said, like, I was like, well, I'm interested. and interned for her, and I met so many people in the opportunity in that space. And
look
then,
at you, see that? You were like, come here, get some tea.
Yeah.
And give me a job.
Give me a job. Yeah. And so I interned with her and I was like, wow, I can do this. And I had another friend. And Atlanta was the hub for like music entertainment back then. It is now, but that's when it was kind of just starting to boom. 2005. I'm telling my age. Yeah. But that's kind of like where I kind of like, okay. And so I met one person and met another person. I had other friends in the business who were just like me, kind of grooming themselves. And one thing led to another. And yeah, just kind of intern after intern, job after job.
Yeah.
I was like, I can do this. Mom, I want to be a costume designer. She's like, what is that?
Yeah. My mom still calls me a set designer. It's fine.
It's like, you know, as long as they're proud. When she started to, she's passed on now. But when she started to see my name go across the television screen, she was like, oh, this is real. My daughter isn't just like finessing me. She's really, she has a job and she's not using her degree she graduated with. But, you know, but I did go back and take some more courses. But she started to see that, like, you know, I bought a house at a young age, or bought a car. She's like, you really have a job. This is real. You know, I'm like, yes, mom, the creative field is very real. And here we are. So that's kind of how it happened.
It's better than my parents, who probably for the first 10 years I was in LA, they were like, are you done yet? Are you done? It's time for you to come the hell home. Are you done? And I had my name on the crawl, like everything. And they still were like, but you're coming home soon, right? And I'm like, I'm never coming back there. Like, get it through your head. I'm never coming back. But
right.
That is a fantastic story of like, it's always, I find, right place, right time, but the want. You have to have the want and the drive to be in this industry and know you're getting into it and it's going to be hard. It's going to be really hard.
It's hard. It's really hard. But, you know, and that's why, you know, again, last night was so heartfelt, because I think everyone, for the most part, and when you just hear a lot of acceptance speeches, is don't give up.
Yeah. Don't give up.
And don't give up on your dreams. Like, it's just, these no's that we get is just a way to protect us for and get, prepare us for our yes. Yeah. You know, I truly believe that, because I can count on my toes and my hands how many no's I've gotten, you know, and it's very humbling when you just don't give up. You don't give up. You don't give up. And just seeing all these actors last night, like 30, 20, 40 years in this business, 40 plus years, and just now, you know, getting the recognition, it speaks volumes. You know, it's really, really humbling. But yeah, just to know that, just keep on going. The time is your day for sure.
I kept thinking, and I don't know why it never really occurred to me watching that last night, of like, there's such a backlash of Hollywood and giving awards for things, and they're meaningless, and they're, you know, that's, you know, people giving people awards for nothing, that you're not solving cancer or anything. But it's the dream that you're showing people of like, this might not be your dream, but this was my dream, and look, I'm here and I did it. Like, and I think that's so important for people to see, and whether it's a gold statue or a diploma or a house or anything, like, it's just so important to see that dreams do come true. Like, it's like, I laughed a little when the guy said, like, this is the American dream, but it is.
And it is. He's right in every sense of the words.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
Yeah. That was so sweet too, to just like, I hope people aren't thinking like the Oscar is, that's not it. It's,
no.
I hope it's resonating with people that it's the dream, that we all want people to have dreams and to strive for them and go for it.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that there's such a backlash sometimes of Hollywood in our little award ceremonies and everything. So
some people don't get it. And the award show isn't the recognition. It's just the actual award itself is not the recognition. I mean, of course, yes, it does help. But, you know, even without that award, it's just recognizing, because you don't remember how long people have been doing this sometimes. Yeah. You don't remember all the things that they've done and all the shows and movies they've created, and people in this business. I mean, I'm sure
they might have had other dreams, they might have had other paths
that sort of thing. But you know, but we sacrifice so much in this business, our families, our children, our parents. Everyone has to, once you join a project, everyone in your household is on board. You know, that's just it. And I mean, sometimes you're months away, or you have nights you haven't had with your kids or your husband, you know, and it's really hard to just be recognized in that viewpoint, and that aspect is rewarding.
Yeah. So it is. And it's like you said, like if you met her, and then to strive to be like someone, even just to have mentors and everything in your life, it's really important, and it really does drive you.
No, it does. It really does. I mean, you know, everyone in life wants to be seen and heard, no matter who you are, what creed you follow, whatever your backstory is. People just want to be seen and heard. And so whatever that vessel is for you, whether it's through costume design, whether it's production design, like you are feeling seen by your work. You're being seen, feeling heard by your work, you know. So it's just, so having mentors and having people hear you and see you and root for you.
Yeah.
And Michelle Cole, she's like heaven sent every day. She's boundless amounts of encouragement that she gives me. And it's so heartfelt because no one has to do that. That's the other part too. The older I get, I realize no one has to do anything for you. When people take the time out to see you and recognize you and root for you and value you, those are the people who you need to make sure you stay close to and you connect with.
Working with good people is essential. Mm-hmm. It's essential in this, because if not, it breaks you.
It does. life gets harder, not easier, if you allow it. So
there's a couple outfits that I just wanted to see if you could give me a little comment on in the first three episodes. If you remember, in episode 2 in the record store, Hillary had a green midriff on.
Yes.
That is fantastic.
The color was so vibrant.
Yeah.
It was just so perfect for the scene. That was Aria. It's a brand. It's kind of a newer brand, a few years old, but a delight. And it's just perfect for Hillary with the rhinestones. And, you know, that shimmery kind of denim. It was just so beautiful. And I tend to watch the episodes back and back. And I'm so happy with the choices that I've made.
Yeah.
Because it's just so beautiful. It was like the color for the scene, for the walls outside. Like, it was just so perfect. It was so gorgeous. So, yeah, that was Aria. It was so good on her.
How is it working with the designer and the decorator? Like, hey, what color is that sofa? What color are their sheets? Like, that's things that I always communicate with the costume designer, mostly sofas and sheets. But
yeah, no, for sure. You know, our set designer, he was amazing. Very, very much collaborative. We did a lot of sheets, did a lot of walls, a lot of wallpaper, lots of curtains. Mm-hmm. Lots of throws. I mean, anytime there was a new set, we definitely collaborated, you know. Just kind of felt like who the character would be, whatever's going on in the scene and how they're feeling emotionally. All that's kind of impactful with how their room looks, or how the essence of the room they're going to be in looks, and who they are, what they're going to wear. So very, very much collaborative. I thoroughly enjoyed working with him. Oh, so
that's great. Yeah, because you don't want to have like a green outfit with a green sofa and a green throw, and like, you know, we all have to talk, and there's times it goes so fast and you're like, oh shit.
Yeah, like, no, for sure. And then you're like, hey, do you have a throw you can throw? do you have a blanket?
Yeah. I loved Carlton's sheep sweater. I love it.
Everyone loves his sweater, and it's so funny because, you know, I call this, you know, my assistant Heidi and I, we have this creative safe space that we kind of like jump and bump ideas off of, kind of, you know, and just, she's amazing. And, you know, this sweater that he's wearing was so intentional in the choice. And I didn't know if people would pick up on what it actually meant, who actually wore it before, and who he is, and that who he is in the show and the story. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was so perfect because he is the black sheep of his family, yeah. You know? And that was kind of like an homage to Princess Diana, you know, because mm-hmm. that was what she wore from one of her photo ops when she was living. And also, shall I get my memory?
I don't know that.
Her son's wife.
Catherine?
No. The other wife.
Meghan Markle?
Meghan Markle, yes. And kind of like giving an homage to who she is. And, you know, it was just so meaningful and just so impactful. And it was really a hit. And it's so on the nose for who he is.
Yeah.
You know, so... Yeah, and then for it to be pink, it was just great. It was great. Yes. So, but that was, to answer your question, rowing blazers, which is like a cool prep line that's out. You find some really cute things from there. Rowing blazers.
Fun. Yeah. I think Hillary has such a perfect body. Like, she's such a perfect body to dress. And then Carlton is so muscular too. Like I feel like, I don't know if there's one scene in the first season where I was like, whoa, bro, you're busting out there.
He's ripped. In this season too, he does have a lot of topless moments that he really, really is excited about. He looks really, really good. But yeah, he's been in the gym. He's ready to show his off for sure.
I definitely find him like, wow, that casting is perfect. Like that actor, I mean, they're all really good. I really enjoy the show. I had watched the first season, and then I was actually really bummed they only gave me 3 episodes to talk to you about. So I was like, oh, sweet, I'll get to see the whole season. So
yeah.
But I think he is such a good actor, and really, I feel like he's gonna break out at some point. I think he's the one for me if I do.
Carl, once you see the rest of the season, I mean, he is phenomenal. Mm. He is a true, brilliant actor. There were some moments on set, you know, even me looking at the dailies, I would have to call him. I'm like, your performance is phenomenal. Like, you are really, really, really performing. He's great. Yeah. I mean, he's awesome. And you'll see as the season progresses how awesome he is. It's chills how brilliant he is. He's definitely gonna go far. Oh god, he's gonna go really far.
I have never once called up an actor. I have emailed a couple here and there, but that's also a difference between like my world and yours. Like I'm there for, you know, rehearsal, and then I get out of there, and usually if I'm called down the set, there's a problem. So I don't really talk to them a lot, which I'm okay with at this point in my career. I'm okay with it.
No, for sure. You know, it's just, you know, these actors have to be comfortable.
Oh yeah, you're touching them. You're
touching them in this, you know, really, really intimate kind of way. So you become their family as well. So yeah.
Plus I mean, obviously, like the set pieces are an extension of their character.
Absolutely.
They're not wearing, like, yeah, if someone was dressing me, I would want to have a relationship or some sort of dialogue with them of like, oh, you're putting me in this pink sweater, like, I don't know, or yes, or yeah. You know, the trust that they have to have with you also for knowing what the character is, and it's really important.
So important.
Yeah. I took up an hour. Now you have a 2-year. I'm sure you gotta go. I wanted to thank you so much. I was at uni on Rutherford Falls, but I think that was last season. I don't think you were there at the same time.
No, I shot another uni show, but it was not Universal. We shot it.
I love talking to other department heads. I love hearing costume designers and editors and cinematographers and how much work goes in on their end in a different department, how much prep and research they have to do. Like, she has to research all of these different characters and, you know, what the actor's comfortable with and what's right for the show and what's right for the character. And, you know, how we heard we collaborate with the production designer, and she has to collaborate with props too. I just loved also hearing the story of how she, her origin story of like working at a tea shop and just asking someone, what are you doing? And I think I would like to do that. And let me dive right in. That's fantastic. So thank you so much for giving me your time, Queen Sylvia. That was super enjoyable. And loved hearing her opinion of some red carpet vibes. There's some red carpet. I gotta say, we all become critics of fashion when you watch the red carpet at the Oscars. I do think that glam was there. I just love some of the gowns. I had to look up the chick who I thought was best dressed. I mean, if I could give my own. Cara Diavange in that red one shoulder dress, and then she gave the Angelina Jolie leg out the side. Oh, that was fantastic. But I think Nicole Kidman looked great. I think Rihanna's red carpet, well, champagne carpet. Jessica Chastain, wow. I think there were, I mean, you know who was not good? It was the Jesse Buckley. Yikes. But I think also Eva Longoria was fantastic. And then I would have to say my other favorite was the construction of Ariana DeBose's dress. I just think architecturally it was just gorgeous, and the way it's constructed, and it was very art deco and in line with the set. Really, really loved it. Okay, my voice is giving out, so I am just gonna say quickly, don't forget to watch that Washington Post Quiet on the Set. Please like and follow on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, whatever you're doing. And if you have any questions for me, if you have any requests of guests you think I should have on, hit me up at decoratingpagespodcast.com. And always, always, always rate and review. Click, click, click 5 stars. It's so easy. So thank you for listening. I hope you got an earful. I'm Kim Wanup for Decorating Pages.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.